Good afternoon, I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Ali Fouts, the creative director of The Get. I think I got that right. Did I?
It's pretty close. Viget, but we respond to all pronunciations, really.
It's close, and even practiced. So to start with, can you share?
Yes, no, no.
Can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. So I'm a creative director, and my focus is on branding and brand strategy. And my original background is as a copywriter. So back in the day, when I finished school, I actually started a small agency with a creative partner of mine who's an art director. We did that for several years, and that was an incredible learning experience. But now at Viget, I get to work with our design team, which includes visual design and user experience design and product developers, to figure out how we can apply the creative principles of branding and brand strategy to companies everywhere from startups to large national companies like, you know, Puma and WWF. And we've had a really great relationship with Y Combinator for several years that has allowed us to meet some really interesting startup companies. And we met some folks who we meet kind of at the inflection point where they've realized they've been doing well, and then realized that, oh gosh, I'm in a new league. I need to do something about my brand. So that's also been really fun too.
Very interesting. So, what is about Viget? Who is your typical customer? You've obviously mentioned a few. And when you talk about branding, are you talking about like their web presence, or are you talking about branding in general?
So when I think about it, as branding in general. So we focus primarily on digital. So you'll hear our founder talk about us as a digital innovation company. So I like sort of, there's an alternative phrase, which is humanizing the digital world, which I think branding is a big part of that. Often the clients that we work with, there are some who come with a brand book. So like Dick's Sporting Goods, they'll show up and they've got the brand book and they've got the parameters. And then our job is to typically to expand on that through a digital incarnation. Like for Dick's Sporting Goods, we did these interesting video lookbooks. So they were full screen interactive videos that you could click on, and then that would take you through to their online shopping. So that was an extension. But we also work with companies that maybe haven't ever gone through that process. And so we're lucky enough to work with a lot of nonprofits, like I mentioned, WWF or the Nature Conservancy, where maybe branding hasn't been their focus and they're making a major investment in their digital communication. And at that point, then they've decided, well, wait, I guess we need to deal with the brand as well, because we're going to have design and we're going to have messaging, and we need to make some decisions about that. And if we're cleaning everything up right now, maybe we should just go full house and deal with it all in one fell swoop. So, the work that we do, and this is how we sort of, the value add that we talk to clients about, is you can apply this to a digital execution, but you can also apply it to non-digital executions as well. It's what's of true value here is the foundational brand strategy. And then once you have that and everyone feels good about that, then you can take that and run whatever direction you want to run in.
Yeah, very interesting. So you're working remotely now, right? Yes. But your company has offices around the country. So before COVID, were you a remote company or were you more hybrid?
I think hybrid is probably a better term, because we had three offices. We had just opened an office in Chattanooga. So we had an office in DC and North Carolina, Durham in Boulder, Colorado. And then Chattanooga was our new Boulder. It was our the affordable Boulder. But there are really specific company cultures within those offices, which I thought was really interesting. And predominantly people like to work from the office because our work is really collaborative. But we weren't super strict about making the projects office-based. So you could find yourself on a project where you were working with people who were in Boulder, and then you're also working with someone in Durham, and then you're also working with maybe, we did have a handful of fully remote employees as well, I think in South Carolina and in Texas. So the company wasn't remote, but the work often was, which was interesting.
Yes, I would say so. But I mean, actually working with your clients, so I imagine a lot of that had to be handled remotely from you, but at their offices, correct?
True. Yeah. And that was interesting. Being in the DC office, we had a heavier emphasis on a lot of our nonprofit clients, because a lot of those nonprofit clients had DC offices. Mm-hmm. And the Boulder office ended up sort of spearheading the sort of face-to-face meetings with more startups, because there was certainly a sort of stronger startup culture in Boulder than even in DC. So yes, I think that I think it's a great point. Our working setup has been very comfortably remote. A shift that we've seen is in the face-to-face contact with clients, which normally that was something that clients preferred, and now everyone has shifted to not.
Yes, less time on airplanes and in hotels than
exactly.
More exactly. Time at home and on Zoom.
Exactly. But I think what's been interesting is we now have clients who I've never met mm-hmm. in person, and I still feel like I know them, and we have a really close working relationship, and we have inside jokes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I was concerned about, that that we would lose that personal connection with the teams that we're working with. But through the combination of video and Slack, and I mean, I won't pretend that email is a big part of it, but mm-hmm. but those channels have allowed us to develop the same high quality relationships with clients that that we had even when we were dropping in their offices, which I think has been really, mm-hmm. which has been really rewarding.
Interesting. So, I mean, the pandemic hit in March. It didn't hit in March, but that's when everything went to shutdown. Did that cause any challenges or things that you didn't expect for both your company and for your clients? And I assume some of your clients, it increased their business, some of them it decreased it, right?
Right. Yeah. When it first happened, I remember we had a few meetings scheduled that were supposed to be, I think we had a major workshop scheduled that was supposed to be in person, and that we, you know, were concerned about, because we thought, well, we can't do this remotely. And pretty much like 24 hours before it was supposed to happen, we just pulled the plug on it, because we realized this is irresponsible. We can't have 20 people in a conference room. Like, it's just not going to be okay. And so that was stressful, but in our case, it wasn't a brand new client. It was someone we've been working with for several months, and we had a great relationship with them. So we were able to just shift gears and make it work. And they were game. I think it was one of these things where we had to find a tool that everyone could then use a remote whiteboard, and it felt kind of awkward for the first 5 minutes, and then, mm-hmm. and then we rolled with it. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and kind of to your question about how are our clients faring, you know, we have a lot of B2B clients, and we had relationships through some startup connections with healthcare clients, mm-hmm. and those clients have been exploding. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the most rewarding projects has been one that has been a real focus for our development team, which is working on a product testing solution. So it's been we've seen a shift in the heaviest focus area of our work, where we're seeing a lot of health tech. Has definitely kind of exploded, and some of our maybe more traditional nonprofit clients are a little quieter at the moment. But I haven't seen any type of a, other than that sort of shift in focus, it hasn't been anything completely shocking that's been happening. It in a lot of ways, it feels like business as usual, which is really interesting. Good.
And I know you have job openings on your website, so you guys must be doing okay.
We do. Yeah, we do. And I think for us, something that has been interesting is that while we were sort of hybrid, we did still, particularly for new employees, we wanted them to start at an office. And I think that the cultural aspect of that was the main reason, is that we if someone's new to the company, we wanted them to be introduced to the company culture. And the easiest way to do that was at one of the office hubs. Now we're hiring people from all over, and they are going to always be remote, and that's new for us. And it's exciting because I think it allows us to, it has blown open the pool for us in terms of people with all kinds of different backgrounds, and it's been an amazing for our DEI efforts. It's absolutely helped us break out of our comfort zones and meet new people and make opportunities open.
Yeah,
which has been fantastic.
Yeah, I'm hearing more and more of that all the time. So another interesting thing I was wondering, because you're a unique company, did your clients, because of COVID, had to alter their branding at all? Because some, I mean, you think about the restaurant industry certainly had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say no. And I would say, and maybe that's where we're fortunate enough to work with companies who, you know, I think that one of the nice things about Viget is that it puts a priority on integrity and honesty. And I think that's part of our approach to branding as well, is we talk about, you know, the phrase from the McCann agency back in 1911, which is branding is the truth well told. Mm. And so, you know, we typically don't work with someone who wants spin, you know? Mm. And so, because that's just not the type of work that we do. And so I think for us, the branding work that we do, it comes out of who you are, what you do, and why. And for a lot of people, maybe the perspective on that has shifted a little bit because of COVID, but it hasn't changed who they are as an organization. And so we haven't seen anybody trying to reinvent themselves from a branding standpoint. I know companies have, as you mentioned, have had to reinvent their business model. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen as much of that. I think we're fortunate to work with maybe not so much of a reactive group. Mm. That's a better way to say it.
Yeah, well, I understand. And having an office in Washington, I would assume that and you don't do spin, it precludes a certain group of people.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, we don't do political work. We don't take government projects. It's an interesting choice in the DC area, but for the reasons that you mentioned, I think that probably would not be a profitable experience.
Yeah. I have a feeling that people watching this might want to work for you just for that. Let's just get away from all that spin for a while. So last question I'm going to ask you is, you know, we've been working from home now for almost 10 months now. It's going on 10 months. What do you think is the future of remote employment, both in general and at Viget?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to go back to the way it was. And I think that what's interesting about that to me, I remember at Viget, the very first fully remote project I worked on. So that meant that there were no offices that had more than one person working on the project. So it meant that every meeting, everyone was remote, every meeting was held over video. And I remembered it was an epiphanal moment for me because I thought, this works so well. Mm-hmm. And the reason it works so well is because everyone was remote. And so everyone was really conscious and empathetic to the needs of the other remote people. And I think in the past, you get into a situation where you have three or four people in an office and then one person who's remote and they're You know, they're just trying to break in, or and that's been a challenge. And so the thing that I think is interesting is what is going to happen now if we have half of the people go back to the office and half that don't? Because I know for parents, particularly, like the idea of being at home forever is not just not compatible,
right?
You know? Depending on how school works for you, but so who want to get back to the office. And so I'm interested to see what it will be like if we're going to have to work to recreate a fully remote working environment, you know, where I've wondered, are we going to have to set up a bunch of telephone booths in the office so that even if you have two or three people who are in the same office and the rest of the team is remote, you can... Sorry about that. oh my goodness.
You okay?
Are you hearing that?
No.
Any chance? No. Okay. Okay. Sorry, I had an interruption there. What's interesting to me is whether when you've got two or three people in the office, and then maybe you have five people that are remote. Is it going to be beneficial for those people that are together to actually act as if they are remote? Because we found out how well that works, so that even if you've got two or three people, that they are will all log on individually from their own computer screen to recreate the working environment that we have now, which I think actually works really well, mm-hmm. where everyone is on the same communication plane. I think that where it's going to get interesting is when we go back to the situation where you potentially have two or three people that are in person and two or three people that aren't, and you're now no longer communicating on the same communication vista. And right. that's where it gets complicated. So I kind of vote for trying to recreate it. And which seems sort of crazy, I think, when I say it out loud, the idea that you would have people with soundproof headphones logged onto their own computers sitting in a conference room together seems bizarre, but I think we might find that it actually works better that way.
Well, they don't even have to be at a conference room together. They could be at their desks and, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The creative collaboration part of it is interesting because it's one thing to sit through a presentation that's pretty formalized, and it's a different thing to sit in a creative concepting room where normally you would have all been sitting on a couch and hopping up to the right on a whiteboard, which is a great environment. And I think has maybe that's taken a few hits in the remote experience, but I think we're starting to figure it out. Yeah. And so again, I think that experience will suffer if we go back to the idea of these are the remote people and these are the in-person people. I think that having a communal plane that we can all live on has been really, really successful.
Yeah, since we obviously have adjusted, I think a lot of people want that. I think there will still be an office where people can go to collaborate if they want, but it won't be many. Yeah. You know, do something to make it a little more even.
Exactly. Yeah, and I still think it holds. I think the best advice I received about remote collaboration was actually several years ago from someone in our Boulder office who collaborated a lot with other people remotely, where she said that if it's the sort of thing where you would get up from your desk and walk over and talk to someone, then it warrants getting on a video chat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Slack, don't email. If it's the sort of thing where it was easy enough that you would just grab someone and talk to them, then you should just grab the remote person and talk to them. And I think at the time that just like blew my mind, but mm-hmm. I've tried to live by that ever since, and I think it's been a really great approach to remote collaboration. Where now, whenever I have a project, I set up just a wildcat meeting, so that if something comes up, I don't have to like schedule a whole video chat. I just grab a pre-existing. Every week has its own wildcat meeting, and I just yank that link and I throw it in Slack, and then we can just go from there. So that it doesn't have to feel like a production.
Yeah.
To get on a video chat with someone, which I think really helps.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, Ellie, I want to thank you for your time today. I know it's late on a Friday, the first Friday of 2021.
Yes.
I'm glad 2020 finally over.
Off to a good start.
Yes. We won't go there. Yeah. There's definitely some spin going on about there.
Yeah.
So I wish you a very prosperous 2021, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun talking to you. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.